I'm going to call this House Special Committee on Fisheries meeting to order. Let the record reflect that it is 8:42 on Wednesday, February 2nd, 2006. Let the record reflect that at this point, there is not a quorum, but present are Speaker Harris, Co-Chair Thomas, and myself, Chair Ledoux. Our agenda this morning is HJR 29, which is titled, "A Resolution Urging the United States Department of Justice and the Alaska Department of Law to Identify All Natural Resource Damages from the Exxon Valdez Oil Spill That Were Unanticipated at the Time of the 1991 Settlement, to Develop Plans to Remedy the Damages, and to Present the Exxon Mobil Corporation with a Request for the Full $100 million That Is Available Through the Reopener for Unknown Injury Clause of the 1991 Civil Settlement to Carry Out These Plans." And Mr. Croft, you are now here.
Madam Chairman, I move that we have Representative Croft be part of this committee for the purposes of moving this committee. Make a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and appreciate you hearing this important resolution, and appreciate hearing from the co-sponsor over there. If he wants to put me on the committee so we can move the bill, that'd be fine.
You're not on any other committee.
give me a little work to do. As most of you know, and I don't want to speak too long because we've got public testimony from the affected communities, testimony from fishermen, and I'd like to move the bill, and I hope the committee would like to as well. We're talking about the provisions of the 1991 civil settlement that gave just over $1 billion and provided what has become standard, I believe, in a lot of oil spill litigation is a reopener, because at the time that you settle a lawsuit, you don't know what damages might occur that you can't anticipate there. So for unanticipated damages of a significant character, substantial loss or substantial decline, our state government in 1991 was wise enough to put a clause in that says we can come back anytime between September of 2002 and September of 2006 and ask for up to $100 million of damages if there are those losses that we hadn't been able to anticipate. That time is running out. And what we do know is if we don't ask, we're not going to get anything. That if we don't at least request that they consider this, the state of Alaska's not going to have any right to recover any damages. And we do know that there were significant long-term effects for the fishermen, for the communities in those areas. I'm glad you've heard this today because I at least want to have that discussion, and we can't have the discussion unless they ask. We believe that there is substantial efforts going on in the administration to pursue those areas. Herring is probably the best case. The crash in Herring is well documented. It occurred after the spill. It took a while, but that's to some extent because of the herring life span, and we couldn't have necessarily anticipated then, but in retrospect, it's a little easier to see the connection between that spill and the herring has just never come back the way we would have liked. But there are a lot of other areas that if we don't at least request, we'll never know, and we want to urge and add as much pressure on the administration, both the state and federal, so that they will give Alaska fishermen, Alaska communities, their just due by at least investigating this reopener clause. As I said, there's people who know a lot more about this issue than me here to testify. Appreciate your time. Made it on time barely. And thank you for hearing the bill.
Let the record reflect that Representative Wilson has now joined us, and so there is now a quorum. Do any committee members have any questions for the sponsor of the bill?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Speaker Harris.
Thank you very much, Representative Croft. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you.
It's a tough one now. Can you explain to me, this resolution calls for the Department of Justice, for the U.S. government, and Department of Law for the state government to pursue the reopener clause. Can you explain to me, as not an attorney and fairly novice at this business boot, what the procedure really is to actually make that happen. Is that an automatic $100 million that Exxon would be required to pay to the trust fund, I assume, or how's that process move forward?
Well, we have the copy of the consent decree here. It talks about, notwithstanding any other provision, Exxon shall pay additional sums if it meets the standard. And the standard is really that there has been a substantial impact on one or more populations, habitats, or species, that is a substantial loss or substantial decline, that was caused by the spill, and that the injury to the affected population or habitat could not reasonably have been known, nor could it reasonably have been anticipated by any trustee from any information in the possession when we signed the agreement. So that sets out the standard. If you don't put that before Exxon, if you don't make the request, then their obligation to pay any of this money just ends in September of 2006, September of this year. If you do, you could reach a negotiated agreement. But if they refuse, it becomes in the nature, I believe, of a contract action. They've signed a contract that says Exxon shall pay if these things happen. If they refuse to, then we would go back to court saying, here's our proof, and they lay out their proof. And $100 million is not automatic. It's the cap. So we would get up to $100 million, but we would have to prove these three or four criteria. Now, I'm sometimes a lawyer. I play one on television. I haven't practiced law in a long time, but I'm not a scientist, and I don't know the details of whether we can prove each of those on this. But I do know that if we don't ask, we're never going to get any recovery for this. So there's a lot of science and some lawyering left to go, but we've got to start this process.
Okay. Madam Chair, one more question, and I've got to actually leave because I've got a 9 o'clock speech to give. But is there any indication on your part that your office or yourself have done that the administration is attempting to look into appealing to Exxon for more damage money based upon this action?
We have indications, though it's all confidential, sort of protected by the confidentiality generally of civil settlements and those negotiations, that there is a fair amount of work in the administration proving these scientifically, establishing the legal basis. As you and I know from the announcement yesterday, it gets complicated very quickly on the gas pipeline, on oil tax revision, on other things. So I do believe that there are good people in Fish and Game and other places who are trying to set up the basis for this request. I think this request should stand independently of anything we're doing on the gas pipeline or the oil pipeline, and I hope that it is. We just wanted to add our voices to this so that we can keep the pressure up to do it.
Do you want to try to move this? Because I've got to go here. If you want to move it, we can try to move it while we have a quorum.
We're trying to get a couple of other people.
Okay.
Well, do you have a quorum now?
Yes, we do have a quorum now. But
you might ask if there's any opposition out there. Then
is there any opposition to moving this bill? Is there anybody online who has any opposition to moving this bill? Well, if there is no opposition to moving...
Madam Chairman, I move that we move from Committee HGR number 29, the slash A version with individual recommendations and any fiscal notes that may be attached.
Hearing no objections, the bill is so moved.
Sign the report.
Committee hearing closed.